Debrief. That's Dave O'Neill with comedy legend Mick Nevin, ladies and gentlemen.
Ah, thank you very much. Great to be here, Dave. Good to have you with us.
And in the back seat, your partner, who's this comedian?
This is my girlfriend, Nikki Wilkinson, actress and comedian, and recently moved to Australia. So yeah, she's in the back of the car.
I'm back. She's in the back.
And
here.
And you're British, obviously.
I am. Yes.
That accent, that, you're northern, you'd be northern?
I am northern.
Yeah,
yeah,
you
I'm
can
from
tell.
Yorkshire.
Oh, you can tell. I love that accent.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely, yeah.
I wish you could
You know a lot about British accents, though.
I was just in England, and we drove to the Lakes District.
Ooh.
Because my wife wanted to go to the home of Beatrix Potter, which is Hilltop, which is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, right. I've never been there.
Oh, it's beautiful, but who do you reckon were the other lot of tourists there, apart from English and people, idiots like us? Who do you reckon were the other? Have a guess. What other tourists would be there?
What other tourists would be at Beatrix
From what country?
House?
What country at Beatrix Potter's house?
New Zealand.
No. Japanese.
Japanese?
Because I haven't seen Japanese tourists for a long time, but gee, there were a lot at Beatrix Potter's house because they grew up. The guy was saying they grew up with it. So.
Ah, right.
So we go to a local pub because my wife takes so long in these museums. I end up in a local pub or cafe for hours sitting there. And the guy goes, yeah, we've got 30 Japanese coming in for lunch. I'm like, wow, what food do they have? Oh, they have their own menu. They have their own menu. So I love that bit of England up there. It's beautiful.
It is. It's lovely. It's exactly how you picture it in your head.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like Shaun the Sheep territory.
Yeah,
it's like,
and it's all manicured. And, you know, we grew up with all these movies and doctor, you know, the vet show.
Yeah, you can go to his house too.
Yeah. And so it's exactly how you picture it in your head. It's very, very manicured.
Yorkshire Moors, didn't we?
It was amazing.
I live in Yorkshire. I've never even driven through there.
Wow.
But also, where the Yorkshire River.
The Murders.
Yeah, yeah.
Murders.
That's England's Blangalow.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though, once we got down off and onto the M1 or whatever it is, and you got towards Manchester and that, the demographic changed. There's just blokes in tracksuits in service stations, like,
yeah.
You're right, Gov. Yeah, they're like, sort of, you're right, Gov. Yeah. Like, oh.
Yeah, it's a little bit different to the Beatrix Potter house.
Not quite anymore. It's not quite anymore.
Yeah, there's some quaint spots, and there's some like, fuck.
Oh, where are we?
Yeah.
Oh. Mick, I'm trying to remember. Now, on this podcast, I always remember where I first met the comic.
Ah, right.
I remember where I first met you.
Yep.
Do you remember? Toorak.
Oh, don't tell me the Toorak Lion.
Yes.
Yes.
So I was doing a gig there for Jeff Phillips.
Yep.
Jeff Phillips was a promoter.
Yes.
Who'd won a Logie. And he spoke like a radio announcer. He was a little bit Alan Partridge, actually, wasn't he?
He was fantastic. And even, like, he'd take each person into the room and sit them. And even if the stairs...
Put his hand on your girlfriend's lower back.
He'd sit them in a seat and they'd say, we don't want to sit in the front. He'd be, you listen to me, madam. This is the very best spot.
Yes.
You know, and just seat each person.
He was the
care.
Old-fashioned host.
Yes.
And he had old-fashioned hair. He had like... It would have been... Now that I think about it, it would have been dyed. And it was a beautiful mane
big
of
smile,
hair.
Had a big smile. He gave me my first ever money for comedy.
Yeah, he'd do the handshake, wouldn't he?
Do the handshake with it, and I had a $20 note in it, and I was living in Warrigal doing breakfast radio, and I just drove home the whole way, but at points in the drive, holding the $20 note out the window, going, woo, got paid.
Well, that's where I met you, because I remember he had an array of Hope Young comics on, and you were the best one, because you had good material.
Ah, well.
You did your Politics of Marriage.
Oh, that was way, yeah. That was
which is a great...
Way back, and they're still doing it.
Oh, it's a great routine. Why would you stop doing it? And perfect for certain crowds.
Yeah, certain crowds. It does. It goes off at a sportsman's night.
Or married
yeah,
people.
Yeah, married
you know?
People love it. Yeah, the PNC fundraiser.
Yes, definitely.
That's the home for the Politics of Marriage bit, without a doubt.
the PNC. Anyway, so that's where I met you, and I remember talking to you there.
Yes. Oh, was that the night Dicko...
Oh, did somebody stand up?
That was the night Dicko did stand up. You were there with Chrissy Swan.
Yes. God, that's good. God, that's, you've got a good memory. Yeah, because Dicko... You wouldn't know about that in the back, Dicko.
No idea what you're talking about.
No, Dicko's a British person who moved to Australia as a record company rep and then became a... Like, he was like a Simon... who's the bloke?
Simon Cowell. He's Australia's Simon Cowell.
Dicko. And he was a record rep for many years and had the best stories. And then they were looking for a smart-ass British person who knew about music, and he got this job as a judge on a talent show and became... famous overnight at 40, he was.
Yeah.
And then got his own... and then Channel 7, he told me... So he was on Channel 10, and Channel 7 offered him so much money, he had to go over to Channel 7. He said it was ridiculous.
What did he end up doing on Channel 7?
I think he had, a very short-lived... Sorry, I'm just below. Very short-lived Tonight Show.
Right.
I remember him with a show with Shannon Knoll, interviewing Shannon Knoll.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know... if anything came of that. I don't know. I worked with him. I did radio with him, and he was a good guy.
Dicko, Dave and Chrissy on...
Vega.
On Vega. Vega 91.5.
Oh, you're good. It's just now Smooth FM.
Yeah.
What's he doing now?
He did a whole lot of... He became like a professional celebrity, basically.
Yeah.
And so he did like... He won Celebrity Apprentice. Yeah.
You guys are talking about him like he's dead.
Yeah, he's alive.
Okay, good.
And what else did he do?
He was gored by a hippo in the jungle on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
He did AM radio too in Sydney for a long time after I did commercial radio, FM radio. And apparently he used to be the standby celebrity on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. So he'd go to Africa.
Just in case someone didn't show up.
Yeah, sit in the hotel room in his car keys. That's what someone told me. I don't know if that's true or not.
I hope that's true.
That's a good gig.
But now... I heard that he's a wedding celebrant, which wouldn't surprise me, because he bloody loved the piss, and he loved talking, and he was very good at that short-term engagement with people. He'd make people feel very good, and he's really nice, and he can do a great speech, and then he just get in his car and fucks off. Yeah.
Now, I'm laughing now, because I just remembered, you broke your leg jumping him on a BMX bike.
That's right. That was a radio stunt. Oh, my God. Yeah, as someone pointed out, maybe it was you. You know, it's radio. No one's watching.
Faked it.
Should have just faked it. Oh, bad times. And then we got sacked.
Yeah.
After that, we got sacked. But we got sacked. So people don't know Vega was a station in Melbourne and Sydney that is now Smooth FM. And Smooth FM's been very successful, but Vega was
Smooth
not.
Smooth FM's rating its tits off.
But Vega
Smooth
was
FM
not.
Vega went nowhere.
Because you're an old radio.
Well, I'm not an old radio person, but I've done breakfast radio in regional Victoria.
And then you worked as a copywriter in radio.
I was a metro copywriter. Yeah.
And then also, but in between that time, you worked in, what factory was it again? Was it a cheese?
The Jindavik Cheese Factory. Oh. The Jindy Cheese Factory.
And I remember someone asking you...
what did you do there?
No, what did you do there?
I made cheese.
But someone said, I remember them asking you, but how do you, I mean, you used to do radio, you're doing stand-up. Did you ever think you'd get out of the cheese factory? And you always said it was just one phone call away.
Yeah, one phone call away.
Yeah, I remember. Do you remember saying that?
Yeah. That's it. I was just waiting for the phone call. And when I got the job at the cheese factory, I went in with my resume, and my resume is radio copywriter, radio announcer. Yeah,
drama school. You went to drama school.
Did a drama degree, all this. And the guy, the Chris, the foreman of the cheese factory, he reads my resume, and then he looks up at me and says, "I think you're a bit overqualified for this job. Why do you want to work at a cheese factory?" And I said, "To be quite honest with you, mate, my wife is pregnant.
That's right. My
daughter's going to be born in about 2 to 3 months, and I just need a job." And he said, "Well, that's all the motivation I need to hear."
Oh, that's good, isn't it? And remember, you did that routine. I don't know if you do, but when you meet. You meet the guys in the factory and you go, "But don't talk to..." What's the name of the guy? "Don't talk to Jimmy, he's a dickhead."
Oh, yes. I haven't done that for ages.
Oh, that's a very funny routine.
don't talk to Jim, he's a dickhead.
Yeah.
And someone else comes up and says, don't talk to Jim, he's a dickhead. And then someone else comes up and goes, you're going to hate it here. Everyone is a dickhead. I'm like, oh, you must be Jim.
Yeah. That's like an old joke, but it's not an old joke.
Oh, I don't know.
No, that's a classic. Well, you should bring that back. I would not balk at bringing that back.
I reckon I've blanked out the cheese factory from it.
Yeah, but that's fair enough. Yeah. But so then, since then, though, you've just become a working comedian. You travel around the world, don't you?
Just
generally?
Pretty much a road dog, yeah, I guess.
Road dog?
Mostly, yeah. I don't have any, you know, I'm not doing radio.
Because you moved to, was it Mackay or Rocky?
Rockhampton.
Rockhampton.
Love Rockhampton.
Do you?
No, it's a place to live.
Is Rockhampton above or below Mackay?
Below.
Oh, it's below. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Right in the middle.
Because your then wife got a job in radio, so yes. You moved up. Oh, man. But that, what was that like moving there? You're from Gippsland originally, aren't you? Gippsland?
Yeah. When I...
go left?
No, go left at the lights.
Left at the lights.
We've actually just driven past it, so we'll just...
That's all right. We'll go around. We'll go enjoy the suburbs.
Yeah, no, when we moved to Rockhampton, I was just travelling a lot for work anyway. And then so...
Well, in a way, it doesn't matter where you're based in comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, if you, like, you know... Well, it's better to be somewhere where there's more work
and
more opportunities.
Yeah, that's true, Rockhampton. Yeah, you're better off being in Melbourne than Sydney, let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, people do live in Brisbane, but often, like yourself... They've got children, so they've got to stay there.
Yes.
But and also people live in Adelaide, same kind of thing. But if you're trying to break into TV or whatever, Sydney or Melbourne's a go.
There's more opportunities if you're living in Sydney or Melbourne. But then again, you make your own opportunities, and, you know, maybe I haven't fully embraced...
Rocky.
...what Rockhampton and what it could have done for my career. I guess we'll never know.
What, though? That's it.
This is getting booked for a gig in Rockhampton. This is, you know, and
did you get many gigs in Rockhampton when you moved there?
This is a thing that happened, right? An actual thing that happened. I moved to Rockhampton. I reach out to some people, and someone gets back to me and says, "Oh, you know what? Why don't you come play poker with us? We have a regular poker night. Come join our poker night in Rockhampton."
Yeah.
And there's quite a few blokes who are, you know, businessmen and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, they need people to MC stuff and.
Yep. So I go and play poker. I play a few of these poker nights. And then our friend Des Dowling, who books a lot of gigs.
He's been on this podcast,
friend of the podcast. He rings me up and he goes, "You're not going to believe this. Someone from Rockhampton rang me up and said, we need a comedian for our big sportsman's day." And I said, "I've got the perfect guy for you and you're going to love it. He lives in Rockhampton. It's Mick Nevin." And their response was, "Yeah, we play poker with him. We need someone who doesn't live in Rockhampton."
What?
Because that makes our day look a bit more special if they come from out of town. Like, what the fuck have I been playing poker with you hicks for?
That is a good story.
We need someone from out of town.
Sorry, that if they're thinking like that, they're idiots.
And you didn't even beat them at poker. Right?
No, I didn't. I didn't win a single game.
And they can bill you as from out of town. You know what I mean? Like, what a bunch of idiots.
And they're saving flights. They get more money.
It was a good gig. I did it. So I remember those guys. They're idiots.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, good
bunch
of people. Yeah, you're welcome.
Good bunch of people.
Oh my god. Interesting. All right, well, we're on the debrief. We've pulled over now. I don't know where you guys are staying. You're staying somewhere around here.
Just around the corner.
That's around the corner.
Yeah. Well, you went past it, but anyway, if you turn at the...
We've pulled behind a ute with a very interesting number plate. Fanger.
Fanger.
Fanger, mate. Fanger. Do they say that in England? Fanget?
Fanget?
No, fanget. I know they say faggot, but they say fanget?
No.
Fanget?
I don't know what that means.
That means drive fast.
Fanget. Fanget's like you put your foot down. Fanget.
Drive fast. Fanget, mate.
I think we say hoof it.
Oh, see, we don't say that.
I don't know if we do.
Oh, we're learning stuff on this podcast.
It's a smaller country, so they're much closer to their animals.
Hoof it. Hoof it. So you're from a double act, is that right?
Yes.
And what are they called again?
The Cagoules.
See, people listening might know the Cagoules, I reckon. If you, we've got some listeners in England. And it's you were saying before that you don't speak. It's like a silent act,
silent physical comedy thing. Yes.
Oh, that's great.
It's sort of a bit slapstick.
Yeah, we love that.
Century slapstick.
I love that.
Yeah.
I was looking today at a bit of Lane and Woodley, and they were slapstickish. Oh, yeah. They're very funny.
Tried to see, well, I've never actually seen them. We tried to in this year in at the Comedy Festival in Melbourne, but we
sold,
didn't get tickets. Sold out. Jam-packed.
They're our equivalents of modern clowns. They're
yeah.
basically...
I'll have to try and see them.
They're very funny. So what sort of gigs do you do in England then? Mick, enough of you.
Thanks, mate. Good to be here.
Yeah, you
thanks
know,
I was just getting a lift home. Sorry, I wasn't going to be part of this.
No, but I love your accent. So it's, I love it.
A bit of culture on.
But culture.
We are, you know, just doing the circuit and stuff.
So you do pubs?
Yeah, pubs, clubs, comedy clubs, you know. Theatres, little art centres.
This like is Rockhampton, yeah? No, it's a joke.
You get all the mixed gigs, they get really excited about English.
And they're excited to have English
oh, yeah, wow.
Who don't
exotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And it sounds like it's sort of act that would go well in festivals.
Yes,
you'd
yeah.
think.
So that's it. We've been coming to Australia for 4 or 5 years now doing the
festival. And Fringe, so. Adelaide. Do you Adelaide?
Yeah, Adelaide. Yeah. We're doing Adelaide next year and Melbourne too, so yeah.
Well, yeah, you do the Fringe, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. I do the festivals, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to go quiet now because I'm talking.
Oh, no, I'm just, oh, you know, I don't need to dominate. She's in a silent physical comedy, yeah. Like, so don't get a chance to talk. A lot of blokes like the cagoules because it's two women who don't talk.
Wow.
2019, babe. That should be on your part, your next poster.
You should talk about your podcast.
Let's, because this is a good, you know who listen to podcasts? People that listen to podcasts. That's what people
yeah,
tell
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah.
So your podcast actually sounds really interesting. So it's about the apocalypse, is
well,
that right?
Yeah, it's called the Apocalypse Comedy Podcast, and it's just a loose chat about the apocalypse, whatever form it may take, and what people are, how people think and feel, and what they might be doing about it.
So you kind of speak to people that have a bit of an interest in that area.
Well,
so like survivalists and stuff.
I
saw Dan Illich. You're talking to Dan Illich?
Dan Illich was on it, and yeah, you know, he went to the 2015 Paris Climate Summit, so he's got a finger in the game.
Oh wow, yeah, well, he's a bit of an intellectual.
Yeah,
man.
He's quite political, and he knows where you know, some of the 1%ers are building their bunker and...
Oh, I love all that stuff.
Yeah. He's following it, you know. The head of eBay, the guy that invented eBay, Peter Thiel, his bunker he's built his bunker in Lake Wanaka.
Wow.
Along with Shania Twain.
In New Zealand.
Oh, I love Shania Twain.
Shania Twain and the guy who invented eBay have got side-by-side apocalypse bunkers.
I've been listening to her music and my wife hates it.
That's
but
so
my
funny.
Teenage daughter likes it, so we've got to put it on before Mummy gets home.
Oh, you both dance around the house.
You're still
to get
the
a man,
one I love.
Like a woman.
I love that song, and
yep.
I love That Don't Impress Me Much.
Yeah,
that's a very funny song.
It's a good song.
So you're a rocket science. That Don't Impress Me Much. But I still love The One I Love. That's my favourite.
Shania Twain.
She lives in Switzerland.
She
lives in Switzerland. My brother lives in Switzerland. Yeah.
She's got a escape bunker in New Zealand around Lake Wanaka.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's what I found out off Dan Illich on the Apocalypse Comedy Podcast.
I love that. And she married an older guy who wrote songs with her, so he wrote Still the One I Love, and then he had an affair with her best friend, so she married her best friend's husband.
What?
Yeah, they swap partners.
Jesus, no. Are
Still
you
the One
me?
I Love. Yeah, I know.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I couldn't believe it.
Is that what that song's about?
No, that was written with the old guy who, before she left...
You know we're a good place
before
to bug...
Before he left her for her best friend.
A good place to bug out at apocalypse time is the rant right next to her place then.
And just play her music really loud. Hey, I love you, Shania! You're still the one I love.
How do you know this, Dave?
I know, I just...
You're a bit obsessed with
her. I only recently got obsessed with her, because... because it's traditionally not my sort of... I like country music, but, you know, I like the more... You know, Wilco and the Jayhawks, kind of cooler country, alternative country they call it.
Yeah.
And so I've kind of avoided that.
Wilco and the Jayhawks?
Yeah, they're a bit of, you know, Wilco,
nah.
You know, Wilco.
So alternative.
I'm going to put it
no, they're big, bands in America, the American bands. Or like, you know, Casey Chambers, a bit alternative country they call it, country.
Wilco and the Jayhawks.
Mate,
that's
Wilco
going
is great band.
Straight into Spotify
Wilco,
as soon as I get out of this
Jeff
car.
Tweedy, great it's, band.
This is my last name. Well, Wilco is my
nickname. Wilco, oh, really? Oh, they're a great band. Yeah, no, they're huge. Anyway, obviously not that huge. Anyway, and so I've always... Mainstream country, I'm a bit like, whatever, but I still like a good song, and I reckon they're great songs.
Yeah.
So I like Dolly Parton. I think she's got great songs.
Dolly Parton's having a big resurgence at the moment.
Yeah, she's become trend back into her. She's become hipster again.
She's like the Betty White.
Dolly Parton yeah. she's not hipster.
Oh,
yeah, she is.
She's in Australia. Yeah. Yeah, you go to a concert, there'll be.
She's about 102.
I know, but there'll be half, you know, traditional country fans, and I reckon there'll be half hipsters going, "Oh, this is cool, man."
Yeah,
I reckon.
I was into Dolly Parton before anyone else in my age group. Best story. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And best story about her is how she met her husband. So. She was doing her laundry in a laundromat in Nashville, I think it was, and her husband drove past in a... He runs a gravel business, he still does, drove past in a gravel truck and yelled out of the window, "Hey, pretty lady!" And then she didn't say, you know, "Fuck off!" She went, "Oh, how's it going?" and waved to him and say, "Stop the truck!"
Oh, my God.
And they got married! Married forever!
And this is when blokes yell out of their car, and I don't approve of this behaviour at all, but when blokes yell out of their windows at women on the street
what
as they drive past.
Gonna happen?
That's why, because there was one. There was
one out of a million.
There was one happy story. Dolly Parton met her husband. Didn't you know that's how Dolly Parton met her husband?
Oi, oi!
Reckon 9 to 5. She wrote "I'll Always Love You." It's a great song.
Yeah, is it?
Unbelievable. I always remember on Letterman. Letterman goes to her, "I still prefer your version," and she goes, "Well, I prefer Whitney's." And he goes, "Why?" She goes, "Because it made me a lot of money." Go, Dolly! Anyway, look, you're on the debrief, and we will return after this. You're back on the debrief with Nikki Wilkinson from the Cajoules.
Cajoules.
Oh, yeah. And Mick Nevin from the Mick Nevin Show.
All right.
From the
Apocalypse Comedy Podcast.
We have to just quickly clarify about Wilco and the...
They're separate bands.
Right. Sorry about that.
Wilco...
I didn't want us to sound...
I think they start around the same time in America, maybe.
They should get together.
Oh, they used to probably tour together. I don't know.
Wilco and the Jayhawks.
Wilco and the Anything sounds
great. Right. Yeah. They're great. They're both... Yeah, if anyone's interested in... alternative country, I reckon. They're not Shania Twain level. They're just a bit more underground. But so anyway, we're here. We're doing the podcast.
Underground country.
Underground. Oh, I love a bit of country music. Where'd you grow up, Mick? Warragul? No.
No. Yes, around Swan Hill and then west of Rockhampton.
Swan Hill.
Yeah.
You grew up west of Rockhampton.
West of Rockhampton. Well, I went to high school in a small mining town west of Rockhampton.
What's that called?
Middlemount. Mate, shout out to you listening from Middlemount.
And how you've ended up in Rocky.
I know.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, back there.
But wow, how did you get into comedy? Because, like myself, you're from a working class background.
Yep.
Blue collar heartland.
Yes.
You too, Nikki. You sound like you're blue collar.
Yes, I am.
Was your father a miner or?
Did he work taxi down the... driver.
Oh, that's very. Did he have the knowledge?
He had the... No, he wasn't a black cab. He was...
A minicab?
Just went out on his own, really.
First ever Uber. What town were you in?
Howard.
Oh, I don't know where that...
Hull.
Oh, Hull? Yeah, where the House Martins are from.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you met the... They still live there.
And...
Do you know the House Martins?
I've heard of
Happy
the
Hour Again.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful South. The other band. From
Wilco, the Jayhawks and the House Martins.
House Martins, great band. They're a great pop band from the 90s. Was it the 80s or the late 80s, I reckon?
Yeah. That's 90s, maybe.
Happy Hour Again.
You know a lot about music, Dave. Yeah, 55 times on Spicks and Specs.
Very good. Thank you. Very good. I love the House Martins. And the guy still lives there. I wanted to go to Hull last time. Purely for the House Martins. Because he lives in a street. He talks about the street he lives in. Where he hangs out at the
does
pub.
Does he actually still live there?
Yeah, he does. Paul Heenan, the lead singer, still lives there. Oh. And the guitarist lives down the road. Yeah. Dicko went on tour with them. And they were huge into the GAC. So much that... This is a beautiful South, so the band, the House Martins, formed after... That the guy was on the plane and he pooed his pants. Because apparently that's what happens when you're on a lot of cocaine. And he had to leave his pants on the plane and just put his coat on and walk off.
Jeez.
That's a horrific story.
That's rock and roll, though, isn't
it? He left his pants on the plane. How
this
disgusting.
This is a guy from the House.
Yep.
Jesus.
Yep. Paul. He won't sue us because he Paul Heaton. Heaton.
Yeah.
You can only sue us.
Great voice. A great voice.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mick, what did your dad do for a job again?
Dad is an insulation installer.
That's right.
Does roof insulation, house insulation.
So he worked with pink bats and all that
Pink
sort of
bats and stuff, yeah.
So that's what are his lungs like?
Well, you wear a mask and stuff. And
yeah, but
rocking.
Still, there's a lot of, oh, just don't worry about it. If I can get up there, you'll be right.
You know what? He was also in the Navy and smoked cigarettes his whole life. So I think the pink bats were the least of his problems.
Yeah, right.
When you're in a Navy and you're in an asbestos-riddled ship cleaning fuel out of a fuel tank.
What was the sci-fi writer that you all liked in your family and you went to his conference?
Terry Pratchett.
And you did a gig there?
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. And so you, your brother, and your dad were Terry Pratchett fans.
Yeah.
And you went and did a gig at the Terry Pratchett...
At the Terry Pratchett convention.
And how'd it go?
I just messaged the volunteers for the convention a few years ago and said, I'll do a thing of Terry Pratchett stand-up. That was all right. Terry Pratchett was there and he laughed.
Oh, that's pretty
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
It was pretty cool.
Is it, though? I mean,
is that why you got with this man? Because of his Terry Pratchett?
I found out when I was too deep that he was a nerd, and then I'd already fallen in love, and I couldn't
The thing about Mick, though, for people that don't know him, he has a bogan... Not you don't have a mullet or anything, but you have a bogan-esque...
I was raised a bogan.
Yeah,
raised a bogan, and then through... You know, I got educated and became self-aware. In a, you know, you do an arts... I did an arts degree,
like
Dave.
Myself. But you've still got a bogan edge, and that's evident.
It's there for life.
But you would never pick you as a bit of a sci-fi fan?
No.
No.
Probably not.
Intriguing. That's really, really interesting. Yeah, what point did that surface? Nikki, what time?
Probably actually only when one actor spray a suit gold for him this year at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, when he was going to his... Little nerd.
I went to the Terry Pratchett convention dressed as a character from one of the books.
Did you really?
And I had to MC the gala dinner.
Of course
and
you did,
so
mate.
I MC'd the gala dinner.
Now you've really bloody nailed the Terry Pratchett gigs.
All right, now let me run this through. So to get a free ticket, I MC'd the gala dinner at the Terry Pratchett convention, which so I dressed up as one of the characters, Moist von Lipwig. Nikki, and oh, it was in the comedy festival, so there's a bit going on. And so Nikki had to spray paint this suit gold for me. Then I went and did the gig, and my dad was there. So dad's there, hadn't seen him for a while. He sits down at the bar, he says to the barman, he goes, "I'll need 2 pints of cider, please." And then he gets the 2 pints, he looks at me, he goes, "What are you drinking?" I said, "What are you drinking 2 pints of cider for?" And he goes, "I've just done a little walk to get me diabetes under control, so I can have a few beers tonight, but I'll need to drink these 2 pints to rehydrate myself. What are you having?" And then at the end of that night, after I said goodbye to him at like 2 o'clock in the morning at the Exford Hotel,
big night,
he went home and fell over at the front of his hotel, hit his head on the concrete.
Oh, no.
I wake up the next morning and, like, the whole family's left messages on my phone going, "Your dad's in the hospital."
Oh, no. Please, Terry.
Nerd convention.
Killed at the Terry Pratchett.
The hospital, yeah.
That's awful.
So then I had to go and clean up his stuff from... So anyway, so that's the science fiction and the bogan comes back.
Oh, right? That's... Yeah. pissed at the sci-fi convention. It's why you didn't start a fight. Come on, you pricks. Who said Tolkien was better? who's arguing about that shit? Yeah. Why did you get into comedy, though? We haven't even...
All right. I did the arts degree.
Even did elements of drama in there, weren't
there? Drama and creative writing, and then some friends, we were doing shows at the Gold Coast Arts Centre, which had a regular Friday night comedy show.
Yeah, I remember doing it. Yeah.
And then there's the back... What was his name? The oily guy that used to Grant?
Oh, yeah, Grant.
Grant.
Yeah. Grant.
That's it.
Grant.
Grant.
Who, one of my friends was heavily involved in, dodgy stuff, and he goes, "I know that guy."
Yeah.
"I know him." I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah, he's...
I think he passed away.
Oh, really? Yeah, well, it was years ago.
Yeah, he loved me.
So then he was running
it. He got me up for a gig and it was terrible. Oh, God. It was awful. Anyway.
He was running it.
Grant?
No.
Yeah.
We were doing gigs on the Thursday night, and then the Friday night there was the stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And then they had a competition every year, the Legends of Laughter at the Gold Coast Arts Centre.
Oh, yeah, and you won, didn't you?
I entered it and came third. Won $300.
Almost won.
Yeah, won $300.
The bronze.
Yeah.
Did you do your Terry Pratchett stuff?
First prize got $3,000. First prize that, was three
are
grand.
Are they still doing comedy?
Second prize was $1,000. And then third prize was $300. No, the dude who won first prize, Matt Maher, he went on Australia's Got Talent.
Oh, the one who stole jokes?
And cried. No, he's not the one who stole jokes. He went on and cried. And
oh, then, that guy. Yeah, I remember him and sang a song and stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Bigger guy. Bigger lad.
Yep. And he sang the Julio Iglesias song. And then... someone messaged me when he was on and goes, "Hey, that just reminded me you got beaten by the fat dude crying."
Well, that's it. And Nikki, how did you get into comedy?
Acting really fast.
Yeah, right.
School and sort of went through that way. I used to work in a comedy club.
Oh, which one?
In London, in Covent Garden, a place called the Funny Side. Back in the day, it was good. It was great. Ran 5 nights a week. It was a nice little sort of
great
brick wall underground thing. Saw Robin Williams there.
Oh wow,
pretty high.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Robin Williams, McNevin, similar. And now
I'm both.
Yeah, Dave O'Neill.
Both underappreciated geniuses.
Baby, another song I love. I've got that on my phone. Yes. The only way is up. I'm Australia's Robin Williams. I don't know if Mick's told you.
I've probably said that to her several times.
I'm on coke right now. Yeah. I read his book. It's so sad. He was so brilliant. He got a disease in the end. He got some form of Alzheimer's or something. And he didn't know why he was acting really weird. And that's one of the reasons I reckon he killed himself, because he didn't know.
Really?
Yeah, because they analysed his brain. Well, you should read the book. You've seen him. You've met him. So, yeah, they did an autopsy and said, oh, he actually had this form. I think it was a form of Alzheimer's.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Because he was acting very weird.
What's in the book? What's the book?
It's just called Robin. The book's called Robin.
Yeah, is it an autobiography?
No.
A post-mortem autobiography.
Yeah, no, it's biography.
Well, written on a Ouija board.
Had a different brain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I interviewed him once on the radio, and he was great. Yeah, just over the phone, but he was amazing.
Yeah,
felt like I know him.
It was amazing watching. Oh, it was a small club, 60, 70 people jam-packed in this club. It wasn't big.
God, I hope no one had to go on after him.
No, it's good. And he had loads of people around him that were like, come on, we're going to go. And he was like, and he did about an extra, like, 45
yeah.
minutes. Like, he was just brilliant.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
Now, I asked everyone these questions.
I saw him at Rod Laver Arena, and he closed with the Bono joke.
Did you see him?
At Rod Laver Arena.
And he closed with it every time someone
claps.
Every
time I clap my hands.
Someone dies.
A child in Africa dies, and then he closes with that.
Oh, that's disappointing.
I know.
It's a good joke, but it's an old joke.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe he wrote it originally back in the
80s. Is it? And then they go, stop clapping your hands.
Yeah, stop clapping your hands.
A lot of you hear people here do it.
You shouldn't have said that.
There's someone doing it on a cruise ship right now.
Never meet your heroes. Go and watch
him. He was great when I was alive.
Oh yeah. But yeah, they talk about in the book how he would have to write checks out for people who stole their jokes. And people started taking advantage of him, saying, you stole my joke, and you just write checks out. And they're like,
oh, really?
Yeah. It's a really, really good read. Yeah. What was going on? It's a really good read. Anyway, I asked all these people these questions. So what went well tonight in the gig, Mick, and why? Or we can ask Nikki. She wants to. What went well tonight, Mick?
Well, I did a new bit about being vegan 3 days a week.
Oh, yeah.
I just sort of squeezed it in the middle there. And
that was good.
That was the first time I've done it and really just sort of... thought about it today and thought I'll just throw it out.
Well done. What didn't go well?
The German salute bit.
Oh, yes. Well, we'd already had a German salute joke.
We had two. David Rose did one, and then Daniel Connell did one.
That's right.
And I had no intention of doing it.
But you did it anyway.
But because those two did it, I just said, I'll just do it just so that there's 3 in a row.
And then
Randy referenced it. He goes, I just threw that in there because I want to be racist as well.
I have to say, your description, though, of getting athlete's foot in the shower was very good.
Oh, it's good to get a whole groan off a room full of people when they can see it happening.
But we've all been through that. Anyway, I won't go into your routine, but when the water washes over the thong that you're wearing to stop you from getting pamplonas, or what they used to call them, warts on your feet. Okay, were there any organisational hazards that got in the way of your gig?
Tonight?
Yeah.
No, it's the Funhouse.
It's the Funhouse. Perfect.
Yeah. It was a great gig.
Oh, good, Nicky. Yeah, it's like a classic local suburban gig.
Got a free bowl of chips.
Oh, that's unusual. They normally charge me for that. And how can we do better next time?
I
have it in Rockhampton.
Yeah. If you could take the Funhouse on a national tour and we could swing through the Central Highlands to Rockhampton, Middlemount, Moranbah, Tierry, Blackwater.
Oh, listen to that.
Yeah.
And we'll show those poker playing fools.
Yeah.
They're all
coal mining towns too, so if we could get some real left wing comedians on there. Yeah. Rod Quantock. Rod Quantock to do a swing through the coal mining towns.
He'd love it. Well, Mick, thanks for coming on the gig. So where can people find you? They can follow you on Twitter?
Twitter and Instagram. At Mick Nevin. Go to my website, micknevin.com.au, and all the links are there.
If you're in Rockhampton, you need a comedian, especially.
Yeah, especially. You know, I prefer to just stay close to Rockhampton wherever possible.
So Mackay. Yeah. Well, except Mackay, maybe Townsville.
Mackay, Gladstone.
Yeah.
Mackay, Gladstone.
Just want a poker game.
Yeah. And Nicky, so you'll be doing the festivals next year, Mick?
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And Nicky, where are you performing? You going to come at the festivals next year?
Yeah, I'll be around.
Great.
Adelaide, Melbourne. Yeah.
Cool.
The Cagoules.
The Cagoules.
Yeah, Kagoules.
Yeah. Are they on YouTube and stuff? Are you on YouTube?
Not
really. No, no.
They're unique. You can't. No one in the world's doing what the Cagoules are doing.
Yeah. Oh, they sound very good. I'm going to check them out. Thanks, guys.
See you
again on the debrief.
See you, Dave.
Bye.